sound teaching must be followed up with a call to sound living. That's what Paul is saying here. You must, Titus, you must continually in everyday conversation, all the time, be calling your people to the kind of holy living that is suitable for truth. The standards that Paul is going to spell out for each of these groups, the older men, older women, younger men, slaves, they're commandments that are to be obeyed. And so some of them are difficult to embrace because they really go against our culture and our nature in some cases. So what is the result from embracing these standards? And Paul gives us three in this chapter. And so look down in verse 5, and Mike's going to cover these in the following weeks a little closer, but so that the word of God will not be dishonored at the end of verse 5. How you live will directly determine how people feel about the word of God. Just think about that. The world doesn't judge us by our doctrine or by our teaching. The world judges us by our behavior. It's how we act is what the world judges us by, not what we believe. The second one, down in verse 8, says, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. The opponents here are the false teachers. They'll be embarrassed because there's nothing bad to say about us if we embrace this healthy doctrine that leads to healthy living. That's what this healthy living does. It puts the opponent to shame. And then the third one, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect, from verse 10 in chapter 2. The way we live our lives will be so attractive, it will bring others to know our Savior. So that's what healthy living does. So we need to embrace that. So let's move from Titus to the older men and older women. Who are the older men and older women? You don't have to raise your hand, but just we are blessed to have many older men and older women as part of our church body. Now, I was several years ago, I read an article about one of the local churches here in town, and it's one of the more seeker sensitive churches, and they were working on a strategy to lower their average age. The age of the congregation had gotten a little old. I think it was in their 30s or 40s, and they wanted to get it back into the high 20s, because that was their target audience. So, but the older men and older women, being part of the body, they're able to contribute so much about the, from their lives and to the life of this church. There are a lot of examples in the Bible that show how God has used older women and older men for His glory. Think about Moses. He was 80 years old when God called him to lead Israel out of captivity. His age didn't excuse him from being greatly used by God. Think about Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were the parents of John the Baptist. They were They were advanced in years, past childbearing age, but God used them. Think about Anna, the prophetess in Luke chapter 2. She was an 84-year-old widow who never left the temple, it says. And she served night and day in prayers and fasting. And by that intimate relationship, I'll call it, with God, when the baby Jesus came to the temple, she was able to recognize him as for who he was, as Savior. And this is a more recent example, but at the age of 83, after having traveled more than 250,000 miles on horseback, preaching more than 40,000 sermons and producing some 200 books and pamphlets, John Wesley regretted that he was unable to read and write for more than 15 hours a day without his eyes becoming too tired, too tired to work. So, 83 years old, and he was upset because he couldn't stay up longer than 15 hours studying and writing about God. After his 86th birthday, he admitted to an increasing tendency to lie in bed until 5:30 in the morning. He had gotten lazy in his old age. He laid in bed till 5:30. Imagine that. So let's look at a few more passages that show the value God places on older men. Look at on the screen at Leviticus 19:32. Said, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God." And then Psalm 92:14. I like this one. "They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green." Full of sap and very green. Do we have any older men and older women that are full of sap and very green, producing fruit? I just think about on a spring day how green the trees are, and how full of sap. That's what we need in our older men and older women, those who produce fruit or yield fruit. And then Proverbs 16:31 says, "A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness." Because of their wisdom and maturity, God places a high value on older men and older women. They have a lot to teach us through their experience in life. And so so let's turn first and look at the instruction to older men. First, there in verse 2, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and in perseverance. So number one on your outline there is older men are to be temperate. The word literally means not to be intoxicated by wine or strong drink. It refers to being free from intoxication. But it also has the meaning of being sober-minded and clear-headed. A temperate man has his life in balance. When I read that about the strong drink, I thought about the last time I had a drink. It's almost 18 years ago, and I'd just been a Christian a few months, and I played in a little golf tournament, came home, and Morgan, who's not here today, she was 7 at the time. She said, "Have you been drinking?" And I said, "Yeah, actually, you know, I had played golf, had a couple of beers." And she said, "Did you drive?" And I said, "Yeah, I drove home." And she said, "So you've been drinking and driving." And so that was all the conviction I needed, and I quit. That was the last time I had a drink. Just a little side note. She's also convicted a friend that having a radar detector was a sin also. And he, because it licensed him to speed, so he got rid of the radar detector. But that's another note. On thinking about that question about drinking, or how to make those kind of choices to be a temperate man, I've used these four questions often to ask, and had our children ask these questions too. If they wanted to go to a certain movie, they would ask this question of themselves, or go to spend a night with a friend, or lots of situations where it's not really that black and white. So ask these questions, and you can ask this about. We'll stay on the topic of drinking right now, but does it cause a brother to stumble? And that's from Romans chapter 14. Ask that question. If I had a drink of alcohol, would that cause a brother to stumble? Well, quite possibly, so I shouldn't do it. The second one, does it give the appearance of evil? Well, oftentimes it does. I could leave here and go to a restaurant and order me up a beer, and one of you might come in there and say, look at the guy that was preaching. He's drinking a beer. That doesn't look right. I'm not going back to that church again, maybe. And then the third one is, can it be done in faith? Well, do you have the conviction that you shouldn't be drinking or not? And so you can answer no to that question. And then the last one is kind of the big one for me. Does it glorify God? Does my drinking alcohol, does that glorify God? Does that please God? And so if you can't answer yes to all four of those questions, then it's probably something that you shouldn't be doing, whether it's drinking, listening to certain music, going to certain movies, that sort of thing. It's just been helpful for us over the years to understand. Number two, older men are to be dignified. The word means serious in purpose or worthy of respect and honor. It doesn't imply being gloomy or having a lack of or lacking a sense of humor. The dignified man, he's never frivolous, trivial, or superficial. The third one, older men are to be sensible. And this is a requirement that's found for each of the groups of people, even the elder. So, and I say that older women, they have to be sensible since they're to teach the younger women to be sensible. So you can't teach them what you don't know, right? So, and then the young men are urged to display this attribute. Why do we urge young men to be sensible? Because they're not sensible. And if you have any young men around, you know that they're not sensible. So we need to urge them in that direction. The word means to be balanced and under control. He has good judgment when making decisions. The sensible person is not impulsive or given over to various passions. So he's able to stay under control. And so those first three, first three really deal with our relationship. And then the second three deal more with maturity. So older men are to be sound in faith. Older men should have a healthy faith in God that comes from trusting God in the practical matter of life over the years. So it takes a certain maturity to gain that healthy kind of faith that Paul is describing here. And not just chronological age, but time walking in the Spirit. That's how you gain that spiritual maturity. Number five there, older men are to be sound in love. And the word love there is like agape. It's it's that unconditional love. As you grow older, rather than becoming grouchier, you should become more loving. You know, a lot of old guys, they get grouchy in their old age. Rather than becoming more intolerant and cynical, you should become more gracious and compassionate. Look on the screen at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And this should be a characteristic of the older men who are sound in love. Love is patient. Love is kind and not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now that's the kind of love that the older man should display. And really, I keep saying the older men, but all of us should be working towards that goal. Older men, older women, younger men, younger women, we all should be striving to have these evident in our lives, these characteristics. And then the last one there, older men are to be sound in perseverance. I like to watch those on the military channel, those World War II documentaries, and they interview these older guys, and they talk about their time in the trenches, and how they just stood there in the face of the opposition and dug in and persevered, and that's kind of the picture I get here. It's this perseverance is a military term. And so the older men should know how to bear the trials of life and not give in to the pressure of the constant attacks. They ought to be able to stand firm, as Paul says in Philippians. Rather than dropping out of the race, older men should be pressing on toward the prize. Look on the screen at Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, older men who possess these qualities, they're gonna stand out. They're gonna point people to Christ. And so, now let's look at our instruction to older women. And verse 3 says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Likewise, or in the same way, godly older women have an important role in the life of the church. Number one, older women are to be reverent in their behavior. Behavior refers to the older woman's demeanor or inner character. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, says, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women, making a claim to godliness. So he doesn't want the women to draw attention to themselves outwardly by the way they dress or the way they fix their hair. He wants them to draw attention to themselves from their inner character, who they are on the inside. That's what God is interested in. Behavior here refers to the, like I said, the inner character, but reverent is related to priestly conduct. The reverent woman fears God and lives in his presence. Her life is an expression of service to God. And number two, older women are not to be malicious gossips. Malicious means to cause harm. The Greek word is diabolos. And it's used 34 times in the New Testament, and it refers to the devil. So it literally means to throw between. That's what Satan does. He throws division between people. And that's what these malicious words do. They throw division between people. And he's asking not to do it. You know, women are more relational than men. And often this attribute that could be is a strength, could be a temptation to sin. And so a godly woman, she won't repeat stories that might damage another person. She's not going to spread rumors or half-truths that may damage another's reputation. But like I said earlier, men, we need to guard ourselves in this area too. Men can be gossips also. So we're not to be malicious gossips. Older women are not to be enslaved to much wine. Enslaved means to bring into bondage or to make a slave. Here in the context means to be held and controlled by wine, by the influence of alcohol. In this time, women were often responsible for the water purifying process for the home, and usually the wine, one part of wine was mixed with five parts of water to purify the water, make it safe for drinking. And they didn't have all the fancy that Cain has to purify the water. So while mixing the wine and water, she was the older woman was sometimes tempted, maybe because of pain of old age or loneliness or something. She was often tempted to drink the undiluted wine to dull the pain, and Paul's saying that older women need to be in control of their senses. We all need to be in control of our senses. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." When we are controlled by anything other than the Holy Spirit, we're out of God's will. And so we need to be filled with or controlled by the Spirit and not by any other kind of substance or activity that would take the place of that. Older women are to teach what is good. The word good is sometimes translated beautiful or attractive. It's the older women who are to teach the younger women how to live godly. And many younger women have not had godly role models to teach them how to love their husbands and love their children. Godly older women have so much to offer, especially in this area of family and marriage. They're to encourage them by teaching them what is beautiful about their role and responsibility. So this is what healthy older men and older women are to be known by in order to bring honor to God's word, so that no one will have anything bad to say and that they will manifest God, our Savior, in their lives. So older women, older men, we need to find someone and build into their lives. Find younger women and build into their lives. Us older men need to find younger men, build into their lives. Teach them these foundational truths that lead to healthy living. When these qualities are present and are growing in the church, the body is going to be healthy and really become a shining light in this world. If you're a older man or older woman, and these qualities aren't evident in your life, start working on them. Start working right now. God, by His Holy Spirit, will begin to transform you, to mold you and shape you, giving you these qualities that He desires for us to have. But this transformation, it depends on a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I said 18 years ago I became a believer. I would have 18 years ago I would have said that I believe in God if somebody had asked me the question. And then they would ask me, well, what do you believe about God? And I'd probably, I believe, or something like that. And I didn't have an answer for them. Then I began to understand about how I was a sinner. I used to measure myself against other people. Well, I'm better than these guys, so I ought to be okay in God's sight. And but then I learned that how we'd all had sinned and fall short of God's glory, and how that sin separated me from God for eternity. And then I learned how God became a man, Jesus, that He lived this perfect life, that He died for my sins, and that on the third day, which we'll celebrate in a few weeks, that He rose again to conquer death. And I just simply put my trust in those facts. And things have changed over those last 18 years since I became a believer. And I want to continue to grow and to trust Him. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You for giving me the faith to believe. And I pray for someone here today that might be struggling with the same questions I struggle with. I pray that You would draw them, that they would put their trust in You to save them. Father, grow us into healthy older men and older women. Use our gifts to glorify You while making Your your name great. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.